Welcome to Season 2 of the Excel Podcast. Join your host, Kevin Selwood, as he talks to a variety of people with useful and interesting things to say about all things to do with instructing and driver training. Throughout the series, there will be a mixture of local personalities from the driver training industry in the Exeter and Torbay areas, as well as nationally acclaimed trainers. Episodes include informative discussions regarding all aspects of running your business, as well as opportunities to find out a bit more about each interviewee. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this latest episode of the Excel podcast. And thank you very much for taking the time to listen in today. Today's guest is somebody who's becoming quite a regular on podcasts. And actually, if you are a subscriber of the Instructor podcast, a name very familiar there, because he actually hosted the podcast book review last week. So welcome, Phil Cowley.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for not quite bailing me out, but helping out when a couple of other people, because of their work commitments, weren't able to do anything. Now, this episode really is sort of a progression from where I was last week when I interviewed two of my PDIs. And one of the things I asked them was, what could I, or we as a training company, have done better or differently? And one of the things we did talk about was sort of what resources are available other than what we use. And also conversations I've had with some people, well, I say ignorance, I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, but it's more that people just don't know what's out there sometimes. And even some experienced ADIs are unaware of what the wealth of material there is. So I just wanted to touch on a few things today about to try and raise awareness of what sort of things are available, not just for PDIs and ADIs going for part three and standards checks, but also what they could use as resources with learners, because not every learner learns the same way. So that's really where we're coming from. And Phil, I know you've got quite a few ideas on that. So again, thank you very much for taking the time to help me with this. We did have a go at doing this the other day and my battery ran out. So thank you for coming back for a second time. The first thing that we were going to look at, we might as well kick off with that, is courses. So shall we start there? Because I know you've got some ideas on that and things that you use and so on.
Yep. So I think probably certainly from a PDI point of view, the main course I would suggest is Go Green. I know you guys use that too. So Go Green's Lou Walsh's course, and Laura and Blaine. It's very comprehensive is probably the way I would describe it. It has everything you need. I think I added it up at one point that there's over 100 hours of video on there. And there's workbooks, and it just guides you through the whole process. But it's not just about passing your part three, it's how do you become a driving instructor. In fact, the passing the part three bit is only really the last of the four modules, so very much sort of guides you through the process from what should I put in my car to how do I pass my part three. So it sort of kind of has the whole spectrum of training, and you get the support from Lou and the team, and you also get bi-weekly Zooms sessions, which are different topics each time. So that to be honest, that's they're worth the money, full stop.
Yeah, anyway. I don't know about you, but those Zooms are free as part of the package, and you can carry on watching them because they are, as long as you watch them live, they are part of the qualifying hours for the 40 plus hours that you need if you're going on a trainee license.
Yep.
And I think Lou and Blaine and that their philosophy is very much, it's a holistic thing anyway. It's not, although you have to do the part one, two and three in succession, it is very much the whole thing is, it's not part one, it's parts one, two and three as a whole.
Absolutely. Yeah, so their part two booklet goes through all the topics that you will be teaching. Yeah. So the way that, and I agree with this, the way that I do my part two training is, it's not really about your driving. Yeah, we do maybe do a couple of sessions before the part two just to tidy up your driving, but really for me, the part two is about what are we going to teach? And that allows us till then we get to the part three to just be about how are we going to teach it, because the topics and the knowledge and the information is already there.
Yeah, and as you say, it's not just it's so comprehensive, it's so up to date and modern compared to others that we have used in the past, which may well have updated themselves, but once you've got something that works, then it's not, I don't see much point in looking around unless you think somebody said that this works better.
I think the other thing they do as well with that course is they're very much supportive of trainers. So the idea of that is, it's not about do this and don't listen to your trainer. It's very much sort of kind of, let's all work together, because you need in-car training. Like, you can't just go and do this online course and become a driving instructor. You need someone there with you. So it's very much working together as and including your trainer as part of that team.
But there are these virtual courses now as well, aren't there, for qualifying? Which
I think they have got one, haven't they? I don't think that like I saw them at one of the conferences, and I don't think they say that is going to make you a driving instructor. I think what they use it for is some of those earlier skills, like actually what we were talking about earlier, about timing your instructions, timing your giving your directions and things like that. I think they use it for those early steps rather than suggesting that it's going to be, because you can't have up-to-date you can't have conversations with a VR, because it's already been recorded. So I think it's part of it, not everything they do.
And when it comes to moving on and you're sort of qualified or even on the way to qualifying, Lou certainly runs a great standards check and part three training course. There's various other ones that are available as well. Look, Diane Hall's Nervous Drivers course as well. So there's all sorts of things out there. And I think it's a case of sometimes you're not absolutely certain whether a course is right for you. And I suppose the only way to find that is to actually go to it or to do a bit of research on these things.
Yeah, I think you can research into the person delivering the course. Normally, they've got some sort of content out there anyway, so you can see if that matches your philosophies or your styles, I suppose. Or give them a call or give them a message. Most of them will be quite keen to sort of kind of chat to you and just again see if that sort of matches your thing. But yeah, definitely would again agree. Lou's workshop is brilliant. In fact, I recently went to one last week. And I think there's one coming up in Exeter
November, and
organizing that. So that, yeah, definitely. And then also, I think out there, the kit
that's
kit
right,
guys,
I did an interview with Mick Knowles from Kit a month or so ago, and he was talking about looking to come down this way as well. But you know, they're a fairly new on the scene, but they seem to be getting very good reviews and lots of people going to their courses. Yeah. I know Mick did talk in the podcast about how they are a little bit, or he feels they're a little bit different to other people. I can't remember exactly what he said now, but there's a good excuse for anybody to go and dig it out and listen to it if they want to find out a bit more about them.
Yeah. And also add in Bob as well, if you get a chance to see Bob doing a course at some point again. That's I've not actually been on a workshop with Bob, but I can imagine from listening to him that they're very good.
I got lucky because I trained with LDC. He wasn't the training manager at the time, but he did, you know, he did my induction back in 2007. So I've known him since then. And one thing that surprised me was he was one of the people that some experienced ADIs really didn't know the amount of material he's got on YouTube. There's a whole range of depth of material there that is there. It's free.
Yeah, definitely. And I think even if you want to dig in probably to more of his more up-to-date stuff, because I would say a lot of his YouTube stuff is like a little bit like when sort of client-centered learning sort of just became into the industry. I think I've heard him talk about the fact that he was experimenting during a lot of that time. Whereas now he's got clientcenteredlearning.com, I think it is, but like the website that he does, that website's Ibera Bob's his workshop. Client Centered Learning is his website, which again has loads of online videos, him describing stuff and plenty of content on there. I had a little dabble in it and loads of content there. If you want more of a monthly subscription sort of thing versus maybe a big one-off, like so Go Green's obviously a big payout, whereas Bob's is a monthly fee.
I think what I will say at this point that we're probably going to run through quite a few things that I'll put sort of links to all these things in the notes that people can look at when this goes out. I suppose one other thing sort of very close to this, closely linked to this sort of thing, are the podcasts. I think you'll have a great difficulty finding anything better than the Instructor podcast, run by Terry Cook. Because the wealth of information and that's available there for free. I know he's got a premium package as well, but there's such a breadth as well as a depth of stuff there that's readily available for anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Terry and the Instructor podcast. I think he's brilliant and has managed to sort of merge together stuff about the industry, but also stuff that I describe it to him once sometimes that occasionally he'll do an episode. And it's one of those moments where, I didn't know I needed that, but I do need that. and he's very good at sort of kind of finding stuff that you need that you didn't realize you needed. And now you're like, why hasn't that been in my life the whole time? I would 100%. Listening in between lessons and it's just, it's free.
Yeah. I sort of think to myself, and something pops up in an email almost daily. I said, Terry, slow down. I haven't got time at the moment to do this next
year. Yeah, he has upped his game recently.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
I think on the podcast list, obviously this podcast as well.
Well said. I'll pay you later.
There's Driving Confidence podcast with Kevin and Tracy Field. That one's really good, particularly that's more aimed at learners, but I actually like it from my point of view. I think I've picked up little things and I'm like, I might use that with my pupils, because they're obviously giving tips to learners, which you then could give to your learners, but also I advise my learners to listen to that, particularly my anxious ones. Which are all of them, because I teach auto. The other couple, that there's two more that Terry does. So there's the Driving Test podcast, which is describing the driving test, and he sort of goes through and gets on different instructors. You might hear me on there. And then the other one, he's recently, this more PDI thing, has recently started with Chris Benstead, is Becoming a Driving Instructor.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
They've only a couple of episodes into that, but again, lots of good knowledge with Chris as well. You know, you're getting the right information.
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah, and of course, Chris, there's the theory test stuff that he does to help people prepare for that.
Yep, I can fully vouch for, he offers a 1 hour free session as like a taster session, and I my daughter's just turned 17 and has dyslexia, and I got her to do a 1 hour session with Chris and asked if I could sit in and observe. And I fully could vouch for that. It was a great, within an hour she was feeling more confident, had tools to go away. I think if it wasn't for the fact that she's got me, as with my knowledge of being an instructor, if I wasn't a driving instructor, I would 100% would have said, yeah, great, let's do some more, and get Chris to guide her through her theory. I felt that I could add what those extra things, but I would 100%, if you've got anyone struggling, actually, even if they're not struggling, it, like, send them to Chris, because why not get them to learn it the correct way rather than just fight their way through it. I think 100% is a great resource for theory and everything else, actually.
Yeah. Right, so I think we've done a fairly good blanket job on a lot of the stuff, but there will be so much more as well. I can think of some of the people that I've interviewed, and not so much directly to do with driving, but to do with business side of things as well. And there's more that I'm going to be doing for the next season come September. But yeah, I think we've probably done as much as we need to at the moment on that. Just move on a little bit, particularly to do with PDIs and ADIs as well, what other material there is available in terms of perhaps written material and what books are out there. Now, I remember when I started doing the training, we used to use somebody who offered a package of the part one stuff, where you got a workbook plus five recommended books, or DVSA recommended books. Now, two of them were, is it Know Your Road Signs and the Highway Code, which clearly are very relevant. One of the other ones, which I know nobody's going to see this, but you will, was this one, The Driving Instructor's Handbook. Now, the size of that, there are how many pages in it? Oh, golly, over 500. It is incredibly dense type in there, and I just wonder how many people have actually properly read that.
Yes, it's an interesting one. I from a book point of view, I would lean more towards In the Driving Seat with Jed and Claire.
Yeah, that's what I was going to come to, which I know somebody was saying somewhere either Facebook or a podcast somewhere about, why isn't that a DVSA recommended book?
So I think that was actually you're talking about our ADI book club.
Is that last week, wasn't it when you were doing that?
Chatting with Terry. So that was our book that we reviewed. So yeah, if you're interested in the book and want to hear about it a little bit before you buy it, then go listen to that. Yeah, it's so complex. Again, it just goes back to the whole Go Green thing. It's so comprehensive. It's got everything you need. And it's, for me, it's really well written and goes through. Tells a story rather than the instructor handbook being a bit more like a, literally like a, it's almost like a car manual, isn't it?
But at the same time, I think. Right, there's an index at the front, but golly, to me, there's too much in there. Jed and Claire have produced a book that's probably half the number of pages, with a bolder type, and you know, all those QR codes for linking into videos as well.
Yep. Yeah, some great content in there as well.
Oh, yeah. I think it was you were saying that you get all your PDIs to read it.
Yep, it's compulsory.
Yep.
I think along those lines of coaching as well, I would suggest Coaching for Performance by John Whitmore, I think it's called. And it's the same sort of thing. It's like that's mainly aimed at towards business coaching, but it's just a coaching book, and you can apply the same set of skills. So it doesn't matter what context you're in, coaching works.
It's either the Kit podcast or Terry the Instructor podcast has talked about the. Oh, there's two ladies called the Coaching Crowd.
Yeah, that's yeah. Terry. Yeah, Coaching Crowd. Yeah, they got a podcast as well.
So I've listened to a couple of theirs as well. Yeah, so, sorry.
Other books I would suggest, Driving Essential Skills.
Of course, yeah. How could I forget that?
quite an important one. And then from an instructor point of view, a little bit like Untwisting the Road to Success is B2A.
Oh, yeah, yes.
By Craig Preedy, right, I think yeah. it is. I think, again, I've not read that one myself, but I've heard good things. I think it's about, it makes it a bit more, it's very basic language and really like easy to understand.
Essential skills, I know that particularly John O'Brien, one of the part three examiners here, will say to a PDI in a debrief at the end, and I think this was probably more relevant when the brief was part of the whole thing, but he'll still say to it, what are the skills that are needed for a particular topic that you're doing, and where do you find them? Well, they're in essential skills, a lot of them. And are you actually mentioning those or getting the learner to do them and demonstrate them? And if you're not, why not? So, yeah, that. Yes. Yeah, so I was sat in the back of one the other day who was telling his the learner, well, you'll be okay, you'll still pass your test if you get 16 faults. And I'm thinking to myself, is that right? Is it 16? I'm sure it's 15. I started questioning myself on that. And then the common one I get, and I'm sure you do, is that we've got right of way.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that, because I pick a PDI up on it because they need to be using the correct language. And actually, that's another one, the word correct rather than right. Because obviously that kind of, if you say I want you to be in the correct lane, not the right lane, but I always feel like it again, it's kind of maybe a rapport building thing, that if a pupil uses the word right of way, as long as their meaning is priority rather than right of way, then I'm okay with them using their own language, because they're not going to be that, like, examiners or instructors, as long as their context and their understanding is correct, they can use whatever words they want. Yeah, I think, again, going back to the, I think a PDI I would, or an ADI actually, I'd want them to be using mostly the correct language, because, or unless they've agreed with the pupil, like, this is the language we're going to use because it makes sense to you. But from a point of view of giving instructions, I would suggest that you want to be kind of using the same language examiners use, just because it's part of the prep for the test, isn't it, really?
Yeah, so I you know, there was a time when I was really sort of hot on PDI. I would say, take the next turning on the left. Are we going to go into somebody's driveway? The learner knows what they mean. It's not like a part three role play where I'm going to be totally stupid. And when you say, if they say take the next turn and go into somebody's driveway yeah. rather than take the next road, the learner's going to take the next road. So, you know. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think if it's a one-off, I'm not going to sort of say, oh, golly. No. But if they keep forward, get learners involved is when we get to a mini roundabout and I want them to give me the correct term, and I just say to them, put this in the correct term, but at the roundabout we're going straight on. So, you know, they tell me, so at the roundabout go straight on, and that's exactly what I do, as long as it's safe to, straight over the white circle. And I had one guy who was very well, he's now qualified, he's working with us, very well qualified for advanced drivers, and he said that to me, and I went straight over it, and he recognised it immediately. He said, shouldn't have said that, should I? Yeah. Anyway, let's sort of dive, we're going down a tangent here. What about apps? You know, not everybody I know has an iPad, and if they've got Android tablets, there aren't that many apps available that aren't for Apple. But what is out there that people could still use?
Weirdly, I've actually come away from using apps. I used to use quite a few, but then I used to use the Neil Beaver ones, but they stopped getting updated.
Yes, that was the annoying part, because he just decided he'd had enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, but I thought those were really good. But yeah, I've kind of gone back to more visual aids rather than apps. But I do, obviously, I have Turbo Drive. That was from a diary management point of view, yeah. Theory Test Pro. Another couple of apps from Instruct is one I use, MindNote, which...
All right,
is a mind map sort of app. Yeah, so that's quite a good one to be able to sort of create a mind map with your pupil.
So that's called a mind.
Mind note.
Oh,
so
right.
That's like a one you can use for creating mind maps with pupils, which I mean can be quite helpful. From a not in the car point of view, but if you happen to be. Like a solo instructor, Canva is really good for creating like social media content and stuff. So that's another good one to use. But yeah, in the car, I suppose Google Maps, potentially occasionally. YouTube for videos, which I'm sure we're getting onto a second. But I'm probably more back to visual aids than I used to be. With.
I've been using one from the DIA, the Magboard,
mm-hmm.
which has a sort of a magnetic button, and you can flip over to different scenarios, and it's got little cars that you've glue magnets into the bottom of them, which is all very well until you get the polarities on the magnets wrong, and storing them away, the cars are all trying to move away from each other or go and cuddle each other, and sometimes the magnets have to slot them back in again because the glue hasn't worked. But I find that quite nice, because the Neil Beaver ones, I've still got a couple of them that I use every now and then, but they're very regimented, and you can change the scenario to parked cars, no parked cars, oncoming, but you can't change anything to an actual scenario that you might be dealing with, whereas something that's got little cars that you can put on a board, you can actually create the actual scenario that you've got with a learner.
So your mag board one, is it just a blank picture and you get to play around with the cars sort of kind of thing, or does it have
so you've got, for example, at the double mini roundabouts.
Yeah, I'm sure this can be really helpful for everyone.
Yeah, quite. well, I am just showing you asked what it was. And then there's little cards that, because there is a solid one part of it that is that the cards will stick to with the magnets, that you can actually just
The ones I tend to come away from is the sort of visual aids that have a lot of information on them, because I find that
I'm going to hold another one up that nobody else can see. But for example, exactly what you're talking about.
Too much information on the side. It distracts from the conversation. It also leads the conversation rather than it being a bit more open and finding out what the pupil has. So I tend to avoid the ones that have got loads of content. Like, that content should come from you. You just need the diagram.
It's very prescriptive, and you almost feel you've got to follow that line.
It's a sort of relic from PSTs, isn't it? Basically, that you'd have to list, and this is the stuff you've got to say. I prefer a more open, just a diagram and have a conversation. The two that I use, actually, and I'm intrigued by that Mike Bold one, or whatever, look at that, is Fiona Drive. So she has, they're not magnets, they're little, the cards have little rubber bits on them. But again, it's that beauty of the fact you can give the pupil the diagram, give the pupil the car, and go, show me where you would put the car. And you can have a much more coaching conversation with them, and it's more open, and you can just develop the conversation rather than it being around these sort of kind of set things that are written on the side. And then the other one that's a slightly more newer than Fiona Drive, that sort of kind of got into the market, is Tailored Driving. I think I slightly prefer Fiona Drive's, but Tailored Driving's got a few more diagrams within her set. So
there's also another one that's coming up, the Rich Rawdon's 3D stuff that I've not
really looked. But isn't that a little bit, again, it's a bit more, there's too many cars on the pictures already for my liking on that one.
I've not really delved into that at all.
Horses, it's like what you want, but I think again that already has the car it's like the classic left turn or left emerge picture, and it already has a picture of the car doing the left turn. It gives the people the answer. Whereas I want to be able to sort of have a blank sheet and go, you show me where we should put the car. What would happen if we put the car here? What would happen if we put the car there? That sort of kind of thing. How would that be beneficial? I prefer the more blank canvas and go
with it. It's more sort of, I suppose, organic, dynamic, I don't know what the right word is there, but it's customized is probably that what I'm looking for there to a particular situation. So now that I think has probably got me through the list of things I had. You did just sort of mention we'll probably have a chat about YouTube, so let's move on to that then.
YouTube's an interesting one because I don't necessarily have any recommendations other than Lou's stuff on YouTube. She's got plenty of content. Like you said, Bob's got loads of stuff. I tend to send pupils to my YouTube. More local stuff, I suppose. Local to Newton Abbott, anyway. I've not got many extra videos.
No, I got very lucky. I had 2 years ago, I had two fantastic learners. The one who I would have done this with actually very annoyingly got an earlier test date in about this time 2 years ago. Her mother is now learning training with me, but another girl, Jasmine, who I was able to just let her drive, and I could commentate because I knew where she was going. So for those people who know the area, we did Countess Weir roundabout, turning right from every direction. We did Sandygate roundabout under the M5 from every direction with every exit. We went up to that horrible turn at the Exeter Racecourse, which I've just taken a learner up this morning, and she just drove it. I didn't have to intervene at all. There was no instruction or prompting from me. And it was great because I was able to put these on our channel and people can use them. I'm not saying they're brilliant, but they're useful for people. But it is nice to have that sort of thing available.
Yeah, and there's so much out there. I think, and also with your learners, they're probably more likely to be watching TikTok videos of driving instructors as well. Which you can check out my TikTok too.
Are you dancing on there?
Yeah, no dancing.
Good.
Other than probably my charity Big Learner Relay videos are probably on there. But there's so much out there, and my issue with recommending some of them is there's a lot of misinformation.
Yes.
And which is a bit annoying, because I think if you're going to put content out there, make it right. But what I tend to do with my learners though is, if that's their way of learning and they want to use those sort of resources, is I just have a conversation with them. I go, okay, so what videos have you watched? What have you learned? Maybe I can watch it as well. And then we have a conversation about which bits to take from that and which bits not to take from that. So it's a great use of it, but it's just being wary that there might be some sort of misinformation. Yes, occasionally.
Sort of a health warning with some of it. And I'm quite, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I am quite surprised, pleasantly surprised, when I find out from some learners just how much they are doing away from the lesson as well to research things and to find things out about driving.
Yeah, I think, like I say, I always encourage it. I think it's great. But
it's
just checking what it's a bit like checking in what their parents have told them. I just want to make sure it's the correct stuff.
Oh golly, yeah. Do you mean I don't have to go through the gears when we slow down then?
Yeah.
I've had that and something else yesterday. This girl was just about to say, "Dad," and she stopped herself. When we pulled up, I said, "Okay, what did Dad say about that?" And it was what was taught years ago. You know, I remember when I learned it was sequential gear changing, because a gearbox just couldn't cope with what I'm going to bring in a minute. Is there anything else that you can think of or you've got a note of that you want to mention? Oh, excellent. I was hoping you'd... some of them might be the ones that I've got here as well.
I've got a whole host of stuff. I'll rattle through them though. I sort of kind of went down more stuff that you might want to have in your car. So this is more for the PDIs, thinking about things you want to have in the car. So I have a whiteboard in the car, again, to be able to do ad hoc diagrams, or sometimes just for goal setting can be useful, or even, again, mind maps. I know I sometimes use the app, but sometimes having it as a whiteboard, pupils prefer that sometimes. Theory flashcards, I don't know where I got them from, but I googled it on Amazon. They're quite good for just bringing in conversations about the theory.
Yes, I actually used them during lockdown. I did some theory stuff with some of my learners because we couldn't see each other. I was using them there. I ought to get them in the car as well. Thank you for the reminder. I'll make a note of that.
One, I just took note of this, The Honest Truth, having stuff from them.
Cool, yes. And they're relaunching, aren't they, soon?
Yep, so they've got an app relaunching. I think actually they've got a webinar next week relaunching.
Yeah, it's very soon, I know that.
Might be 28th. A dash cam, I think it's quite handy. Insurance point of view, but also... maybe something that potentially you can record yourself on, because I think from a training point of view, that's really helpful. So that doesn't have to be the dash cam. That could be just put your phone in and do that.
Well, as I was saying to you, I don't know whether it was before we were recording or while we were on, that I did some and sent it to one of my PDIs just so he can see where he's looking and where he's not looking. But also the dash cam, if you've got Wi-Fi, that you could just pull over at the side of the road and just go through a clip pretty quickly with somebody.
Yeah, I've done that with pupils. Yeah. Pause it. What would you do now when you're not in the moment?
Yeah. So
what happens next? can be quite a good one. Post-it notes, I think, are fantastic. Something I've recently started doing is writing pupils' goals down on the post-it notes. Sticking it on the dashboard so it's there nicely in front of us. This is our goal for today or for the next hour or whatever. And then you get the beautiful moment of when they've ticked the goal off, is they get to rip the post-it note up, and it's just like this moment of like, I've done. Everyone loves ticking stuff off, and ripping it up is even more exciting. So that's quite a good little way of doing it. Another thing I know I don't actually do with my guys, but I know Lou suggests, is pupils writing tips for your next pupil, and using post-it notes for that and having it stuck on. I think that's a really good way of pupils self-reflecting.
I was doing that for a while, and then I found that they were tending to say the same thing every time in the end.
That can happen. Yeah.
So I think if you refresh your group of pupils, then it'd be worth going back, because they wouldn't be reading the same thing every time.
Possibly. Yeah. What else have I got? The only other thing I've got on my list is Lou's PDI group as well. You're a PDI, that's like essential group to be in, basically. So,
and then you can graduate to our ADI group, and those of us who have never been in either of them can't get access anyway, because, you know, quite rightly, because it is a PDI group, and that the issue with ADIs getting involved is back to that chestnut of correct information.
Yeah, it's too many cooks, that's what it is.
Yes.
It's a great group, and it really helps with like being supportive, and you know you're getting the right information. And there isn't a group out there on Facebook, well, certainly a driving instructor group, that is as supportive as well. So you can ask anything, and you're going to get one information, two support. And then obviously when you move over to the green badges, I think it's called now, There's two, because one was getting too many in, so they started a new one. It kind of links in with the, like, because what ended up happening was you ended up having ADIs and the other one that had been there for years and years and years. And actually it's about creating this sort of community of, because they've got that ethos from the PDI group, it carries on, and both the Green Badger groups are really supportive as well.
Great. I've just got some other things here. How much importance or how much emphasis when it comes to training people and also ADIs, things like the national standards for driver and rider training, the car and light van syllabus, and the GDE matrix. How important are those at any stage? So you could say they're all important, but you know, you can overload people if you're not careful with all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got them on my list, but I knew you were going to mention them, so I thought I'd back them up. I think national standards for driver and rider training, I think that's one of those things that I feel like your trainer should know, and then be able to take that information in and pass it on to you in a more user-friendly manner, because that document sucks.
Tell me about it.
We're reading. ADI 1, I would add to that as well. But again, it depends on how you like to learn. If you want to know the ins and outs, then go read the ADI 1 before your part 3. But I firmly believe you could do a part 3 without ever even understanding any of the competencies, because our job to know the competencies and get you to be a good driving instructor. My job is to make you deliver a good lesson, and that will just happen to meet the competencies. But again, some people like to know the ins and outs, so we will go through the competencies. But I think sometimes you can overcomplicate it by trying. It's a bit like trying to get a learner to understand how a driving test is marked, whereas in reality, what you want to do is just teach them to drive. So I think the cars and light vans one's interesting, because I think that's again, as a driving instructor, you should know that, because your job then is to know that and pass that on to a pupil in a more user-friendly way.
Yeah, and the GDE matrix, you know, it's, you can get tied up in knots with that sometimes, but it's, you know, again, it's, we need to make sense of it and be able to put it across in a way that isn't sort of technical and gets tied up in things, but not necessarily mentioning it as what it is, but just the skills and the everything else to do with it, just bring it in naturally into training sessions.
Yeah, I think an instructor should be aware of it, but the learner doesn't need to know what part of the matrix they're doing.
That's
just the conversations you're having. Yeah.
But it's an interesting one. How many instructors are aware of these things? And you know, it disappoints me at times that I get the feeling that it's often quite a low number.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be overly fussed if they were doing it, if that makes sense. So if they were doing what the GDE matrix suggests. But didn't know they were following. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not about knowing all of this stuff. It's about, are we delivering it? And if you're delivering it because for other reasons, then great.
Because there was a time when I was getting hung up with producing reports, particularly when for part three, and the examiner wants to see the training records. And I was thinking, oh God, would it be worth me putting in the references to the NSDRT? And I thought, oh God, I can't be bothered doing that anyway. And is he going to really read it properly and work out whether I put the correct ones in or not? I felt like I'll put a couple of spoof ones in and see if he spots them. but this is a waste of time.
Yeah. I sort of wonder as a PDI that maybe our job is to simplify it for them and make it, this is how we deliver a lesson. And then maybe some of this stuff is the stuff once you've got the skills, once you're built, and that's when you start pushing yourself a little bit and going, actually, I want a bit more in-depth knowledge. But that's further down the line.
Yeah, and some people are like that and like to know the ins and outs of it. And fair enough, let's give them the... You know, direct them to where it is. So if they want to go into more depth, then go and do it. Yep. Right, now I'm aware that time's moving on, and again, I don't want to overload people with too much stuff to have to go and think, oh, but have a look at that, but have a look at that as well. So anything else that you want?
No, I think I've covered everything that I had on my list anyway.
It's so much better to be able to bounce ideas off rather than, because probably half of those things I'd have forgotten all about if I'd tried to do it myself. So, so again, thank you very much indeed.
Sorry, thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, thanks, Phil, for that session. Quite illuminating, I think, that the whole range of resources that are available for ADIs, PDIs, and for learners. So hopefully there's bits and pieces in this that you've found useful and you think, oh yeah, I'll go and have a look at that if you're not using it already. Thanks, Phil, and thank you all for tuning in and listening to this episode. It is the last one of this season. Taking a 2-month break now, and we'll be back in September. But all the previous episodes from this season and season one are all available online, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, whatever one you use. And if you have enjoyed these, we also do have a Facebook page, the Excel Podcast. And if you've got any comments you want to make, good or bad, it'd be great if you could put them on there, and also grow the number of likes we have for the page would be really good. And so thanks, Phil, thank you, and hope everybody enjoys the rest of the summer in July and August, and we'll be back in September. Thanks very much indeed.